Chapter 4 The Dark Realm. Again. What the fuck was even happening? I knew lately transporting here was easier than it used to be, but come on! Ugh, I grunted as I sat up. And then my mouth dropped open when I ogled the sight in front of me. Because it seemed as if we weren't really in the Dark Realm after all, but still in the secret cavern underneath the Lacuna Lake. I just got confused because with the way the glowing obelisk was throwing its beams of light all around, the black mirror of the reflective surface looked like the universe at its birth, all new stars and nebula clouds. Somewhere amidst this amazing light show, the random patterns of light suddenly became less random, and I began to spot recurring symbols here and there. It wasn't until Nova grabbed my hand from beside me that I realized what I was seeing in this glossy dark mirror was actually real.
Look!
She said excitedly when the oddly familiar spiral shape floated by for the third time by my count.
It's a lesson.
What did you say? I asked, as a cold bolt of shock struck me like lightning. Several things occurred to me simultaneously. The first was the recognition of where I'd seen symbols like that before, which was on the cover and on what seemed like every other page of the mysterious tome I'd had in my possession since Mech gave it to me and tasked me with trying to use it to find answers. The second was the stunning realization that for all the Siren Woman's lack of eloquence and literacy, she was apparently the only living thing able to decipher the glyphs haunting my untranslatable nightmares. And the third was one of the more confusing of the shocks I'd received thus far, which was the fact those same freaking symbols matched the ones on the strange altar I woke up on that had started everything. I wasn't exactly sure what to do with that third revelation, but I stowed it away regardless and focused on the other salient facts. "Nova, honey," I said, and felt slightly breathless from excitement. "Do you know what the other ones say?" She bit her upper lip, and she nodded shyly.
"Mother taught me some. Wasn't fun."
I chuckled again and kissed her pretty forehead before her eyebrows had a chance to buckle. "Do you remember much of it now?" Nova thought about it with a visible shift of her eyes, as if she was trying to read something off the invisible pages of her mind's eye.
"Yes. See there?"
"Yeah," I said, and followed her finger to where she was pointing. But the tip of her jade digit kept jumping around every time a certain glyph passed by.
"Home,"
she said, when the shape that reminded me of a delta flashed by again on the surface of the water. "Is that what that shape means, home?" I questioned. And when I did, she suddenly became a little shy and wary. I didn't exactly blame her. My excitement was almost too transparent, and when she confirmed the symbol's meaning, I almost wanted to shake her because she was quite literally the answer to one of my prayers. I kept pointing out symbols as they floated by and badgering her on what they said, and I unfortunately didn't see how I was beginning to irritate her until there were several in a row she didn't know the meaning of.
"Stop!"
the Siren Woman finally whined and pulled away so she could actually splash into the water and away from me. "Oh, honey, I'm sorry," I tried to apologize. But she made it known how supremely uninterested she was in hearing it and splashed her magnificent mermaid tail in my direction as she disappeared under the surface. Shit. My words echoed back at me after they finished bouncing around the large cavern. But after they faded, it dawned on me that I was alone in an underwater cave, and I'd probably just pissed off my only way back. Good job, Alex. She would come back, though. She'd called me her mate, after all. However, as the minutes began to spool onward with no signs of the Siren Woman's return, I realized a good portion of the species I could name back where I came from did not have a good relationship with their so-called mates. Look at the praying mantis, for example. If I remembered correctly, once the happy couple do the deed, the female basically finds him annoying or something and eats his head. That might not be entirely accurate, but I learned that fun fact at the tender age of 10 as I browsed the magazine aisles at the library and stumbled across all the Nat Geos. Whatever the case, things did not look good for my dude Mantis. But surely Nova wouldn't do such a thing, right? No, definitely not. I knew she was only trying to make me squirm and teach me a lesson about her boundaries. And when the minutes spiraled out to what internally felt closer to an hour, the message was received loud and clear. For whatever reason, Nova was touchy about reading or translating the dead language and would only do so at her own pace. I sighed and decided to take her little lesson on the chin like a good boy. However, even though I knew deep down I wasn't truly stranded here, the mere thought of even the possibility of being trapped down here gave me an itchy feeling and made my skin feel tight. What Nova failed to take into consideration, purely on the grounds that she didn't really know me very well, was how if I was going to die of anything, it would be boredom. Simply put, I was not someone who liked to remain idle for too long. And even though I knew I just had to wait for my time out to end, and she would be back when she was ready, I couldn't help the direction my mind wanted to go in to remain occupied. A big part of me really wondered if I was trapped at all, especially with my time trance. I figured in normal circumstances, every time I triggered my ability, I was able to carry on like nothing out of the ordinary was affecting me, even though the world around me moved like they were in a large vat of molasses. So, by that logic, if I applied the trance to the lake water, the water would stay still so I could glide through it much faster. It was an intriguing theory, and one that was too interesting to ignore, especially when I was left here to my own devices. In the end, it was an easy decision to make, because I wasn't getting any younger, so I marched out into the water and dove under. The first thing that became immediately apparent was I somehow couldn't concentrate on holding my breath while releasing the time trance at the same time. I wasn't sure why this was, and a few times I came up to the surface spluttering and hacking the water out of my mouth and lungs. But instead of being deterred, I only grew more stubborn. About the sixth go-around, I must have been concentrating too hard on getting the trance to cooperate that I wasn't really paying attention to how far I'd swum away from the cavern, and away from the life-granting pocket of air this far from the surface. That, plus the fact it was dark as all get-out down here, and I momentarily got turned around and couldn't find my way back. This caused me to panic, and because of that, my adrenaline spiked just enough to push me into the trance. Tick. The world slowed around me just like I anticipated. But it was clear almost from the start something was wrong, and I'd made a terrible error. Tick. Instead of feeling my body slice through the water like a hot knife through butter, the fact I was in a body of water seemed to keep me suspended like a fly stuck in a jello mold. The sensation of being paralyzed startled me into releasing the time trance, and the abrupt snap back actually kicked out of the rest of what precious oxygen I had left in me, and the air escaped in a flurry in front of my stinging eyes. Oh no. This really wasn't good at all, because even though I pumped my legs and arms in order to make it back to the cavern, I still barely knew which way was up, and the result obviously had me flailing and finally floundering. My lungs burned, but just when I thought I was toast, the beautiful image of Nova swimming toward me with her outstretched arms was a sight for sore eyes, and I gathered her up just as tightly as she did to me. Our mouths clashed clumsily under the water, and I'd admit I was a bit over-eager about getting some much-needed oxygen. At this point, our teeth ended up crunching together unpleasantly while I endured a little pain from Nova's breath forcing me to breathe. Breathing underwater like this still felt very foreign and wrong, so it took me a moment to acclimate. The siren woman, for her part, was patient and even let me take another deep cleansing breath before she led us both away from the underwater cave and up toward the lighter blue of the surface. When my head finally broke out into the open air, I couldn't help but gasp a few times, even though I was far from drowning due to Nova's aquatic powers. I'd never been scuba diving, but if there was anything I had to liken the strange breathing technique to, it would have to be that. Although I was pretty sure no scuba gear came equipped with the sexy breathing apparatus that I had. As I took a moment to gather myself, I noticed said sexy breathing apparatus was actually waiting patiently in the water next to me while I floated on my back for a moment in a daze. Given how fickle she tended to be, I noticed her uncharacteristic patience right away, especially since it seemed as if she was still slightly annoyed with my behavior. She floated close, but she also maintained a strict distance between us now that I didn't need to kiss her to breathe. I didn't say anything, but I followed her example when she eventually took it upon herself to start swimming back in the direction of Rickety House. When we finally crawled up onto the shore, we sat side by side in the sun and let the air dry our skin in silence. "Hey, I'm sorry about pushing you earlier," I spoke up after a while. Nova hummed with a questioning frown on her face as she sat on her side in the golden sand. "I just got excited when I recognized those symbols, you know," I ventured, in the hopes that she'd calm down and I could potentially glean more information from her.
"Criff,"
she started slowly with that shadow still hovering around her face and causing her eyes to darken to a stormy shade of maroon.
"He, Mike, mother... read and read. She sometimes, not now. And she never teach me all."
"Nova, honey," I said, as I felt more of that anticipation rise within me as my brain made more salient connections. "Did your mother ever have a book?"
"What?"
she asked me as she froze in place. "A book," I pushed again, and pantomimed opening a book with my hands. "A special one with this on the cover?" At this, I drew the strange spiral symbol I'd seen numerous times on the cover of that blasted book into the sand on the lakeshore. But instead of getting the answers I thought we were working up to, I was startled at how Nova shrieked and then jumped explosively to her feet. That wasn't all that happened, and I scrambled back a good few feet myself when the siren woman suddenly transformed into what I immediately dubbed as her true form. Simply put, she looked nothing like the frolicking Disney mermaids of the sea, and instead she resembled something out of a deep-sea nightmare. For starters, her teeth and her fingernails morphed into sharp and deadly-looking points designed perfectly to tear flesh from bones, and her maroon eyes suddenly glowed like hellfire. Her green skin looked like it grew some armor as hundreds of clear scales shimmered all over her face, neck, and arms like a sci-fi suit of armor. It would have been epic had her sudden ire not been focused solely on me. And what was more, I had no idea what I'd done to make her this mad and to apparently start viewing me like an enemy. By the way she suddenly rushed at me, she definitely dubbed me as an enemy at that moment. "Whoa, what are you doing?" I yelped, and then rolled away when she didn't appear to be slowing her approach. It was a well-known fact the siren woman was already quite strong, but that seemed to be child's play in the face of what she could do in her true form. Namely, launch fully grown tree logs in my direction, so that was fun.
"Yeah!"
she yelled after she hurled another sizable piece of driftwood at me, and I tumbled out of the way just in time.
"Can't we at least talk about this?"
I asked, with my empty palms brandished toward her in surrender.
"Talk?"
she growled, and paused for a moment with a large boulder above her head.
"How you have mother's book! You tricked Nova!"
"No, I didn't, I swear," I tried to explain. But she swiped her sharp claws at me over and over.
"Nova, stop! If you would just use your words, then..."
She stopped suddenly in her tracks, and I dropped my hands just a little, thinking I was getting through to her. But whatever I'd said now seemed to have taken the cake on offensiveness compared to anything else I'd ever said before. Basically, she had a meltdown, and it was all I could do to duck out of the way and dodge all of the things that came flying toward me. She began to sob and cry while at the same time raging in a combination of gibberish and her rather endearing pigeon speak. But regardless, the only thing I could really make out is the mocking way she referred to using our words.
"Use your words, Nova!"
she screamed at herself, and then she punched herself several times in the chest and torso.
"You won't breathe water! Use words! Words! Words!
I didn't need a translator to understand why someone like her who couldn't communicate as easily as most would probably be frustrated at being told to use your words when it seemed like that's all she really wanted to do. I swallowed hard at what the rest of her words implied and shoved those dark thoughts away for now.
I'm sorry, I tried to say again.
But she was too far into the tempest of her rage to really hear me. All that seemed to register within her flat red gaze was my apparent compliance. And like the deadly apex predator I knew her subspecies was, she charged for me again with no holds barred. Somehow, I knew she was just going to have to get it out of her system first before she would calm down or listen to reason. So I met her in the middle and let her rush at me without dancing out of the way. She wailed when I then used her momentum against her and almost but not quite clotheslined her to her back. Once she was down, I pinned her briefly by straddling her toned waist. But when I grabbed her wrists in order to pin her hands above her head, I once again underestimated her strength. It only took one good kick of her hips and I suddenly found myself flying off her. I rolled to a stop on my side and then rolled a little farther when it looked like Nova was already up on her feet and after me again with a well-aimed stomp of her heel where my head used to be. Sweat was pouring down her enraged face, and she was breathing much too heavily given the amount of time we'd been fighting, which wasn't very long. What went from what I thought was just her regular blown gasket temper actually started to worry me a little based on the way Nova was starting to look strung out and pale. I figured it would be best for her to get her to calm down somehow, and I decided to engage with her a little harder on the defensive so I could try to get even closer. This was easier said than done, because the instant the savvy siren woman picked up on my wordless goal to try to get close to her, she then attempted to keep as far away from me as she could. With a savage snarl, she suddenly did a somersault and then swept my legs out from underneath me. This caused me to fall on my ass mostly due to the surprise I got from just how fast this water being could actually move on land, and I adjusted the way I fought her. In an instant, and just like her predatory instincts demanded, she was back on top of me and grappled to get at my neck in an attempt to get me into a chokehold, but I still had the advantage of having a bigger and more solid physique than her. My size automatically made it difficult for her to maneuver me the way she wanted, even though she currently still had the upper hand. But I didn't even need the advantage of a time trance to see the weak spot in my opponent's hold. I exploited this weak spot, and I twisted away from her with my upper body while my lower body flipped our positions so she was now under me and at my mercy. This impromptu wrestling match would have been kind of fun if only the worrying red look would fade from Nova's gaze. As it was, our sparring seemed to make her even more angry, and I knew deep down if I couldn't stall her temper, there was a possibility she could seriously burn herself out. So I kept up my strategy and focused solely on how I could both keep my distance from her, yet also keep her from getting too frustrated. Because she was obviously expending too much energy to sustain her volcanic rage forever, and it was only a short time before Nova visibly began to slow down. Finally, all of my efforts paid off because she miscalculated on one of her swings, and this allowed me to actually catch her striking hand with my own. She really did not like this, and when she tried to pull away, she overcompensated for the both of us and yanked her hand back, hard. My instinct to protect her caused me to abandon my own defense in order to switch tack and make sure she was okay. But at the last moment, I caught the ruse for what it was and paid the price. Quicker than I could blink, she shifted the power between us once more and used my own inertia against me. This time, when she pinned me, she also brought her deadly serrated mouth down close to my carotid. For one brief, terrifying moment as her teeth slowly began to bite down on my neck, I worried I'd completely miscalculated, and fantastic sex or not, this was the first time I felt as if I was dealing with the powerful beast she kept deep inside of her. If this was the case, and this was really how it ended for me, there really was only one thing I could do in this position. so I relaxed my muscles and bared more of my throat as an offering.